welcome back to another episode of CrossFit Harrow podcast. I think we are episode 21 of season 3, I think. Why do I not remember? Because my brain is occupied with so much that I cannot remember. However, usually, most of the time I do get it right, and it is 21. Look at that, eh? Change of tune this evening. I say this evening, you could be listening to it in the morning. But for me, evening, change of tune. Last few weeks have been talking about fitness in the future, what you should be thinking about later on in your life, not so much worrying about now and the steps you need to make. And I thought tonight I would talk about some funny stuff and things that people have asked me over the last couple of weeks. And I've kind of put it all together. And hopefully I won't chew your ear off, but just some funny kind of compilation stuff of the things that have, you know, happened over the years, let's say, and whatnot. So, without further ado, is that the right way to say it? Yeah. First question that I am answering that someone has asked me is, have I ever had a workout fail or embarrassing gym moment you can share? I can share. I can tell you that. And thank you for the question. I won't add your name. Keep it hidden. Probably one of the most embarrassing things workout wise that happened to me was maybe 2016, 17. I was going for a one rep max in the gym. There was about 3, 4, 5 people maybe behind me. Went underneath the bar. And this was, yeah, about 2017. So this was the time, for those of you that are original CrossFitters, this was a time when like the Rogue shorts that Froning was wearing when he won in 2017 were like big, and I was obsessed with them. So I had them, but I've got a weird body shape. Like, they're made for a little bit, maybe taller people, and the material was a little bit funny. I mean, Froning's not much taller than me anyway, but, yeah, just kind of material is funny. So as I've gone down, I think it was like 160 kilo, 150 on the bar, whatever it was, I can't remember. As I've gone down for the squat, you're never going to guess what happens next. You're probably already giggling. Yeah, my shorts split. Straight down the middle, pants on show, probably close to having some bum on show, to be fair. So that was quite funny. I've actually just thought of another funny experience that was in the gym. Was a morning session many, many moons ago. Again, I won't mention any names. This is quite out there. And we were stretching. So just like doing a bit of mobility kind of stuff, like loosen up the hips and stuff. And it was a stretch where you lunge and then you put your elbow, like an instep, and you put your elbow inside and then turn. Now, we had done that a few times, and again, won't mention any names, but let's just say that some gentlemen's peaches and pears were popping through and making a show, coming out to say hello in front of a couple of people, and unfortunately, they weren't aware at that particular moment. Only, you know, after a couple of alternative lunges on each side did they become aware that the apple and pear had come out for breakfast. So they were quite funny times, actually. They bring back some good memories, actually. Another question I received was about the, like, the fitness trends and, like, or, you know, the kind of the weirdest ones that I'd received or done. There's a couple, actually. Bodybuilding wise, back in the day, like, people were obsessed with like 21s bicep curls. So you would do 7 from like arms straight to half bent or half flex, and then from half flex position up would be another 7, and then you do 7 the whole way. That just, like, a great pump, but just fucking weird. You just, Friday night, you just see loads of guys just fucking pumping away at these barbells just to get a little bit of a pump on before they head out. But I think the weirdest fitness trend in general is how people get so obsessed with like fucking knee sleeves, headbands, fucking wrist straps, elbow fucking pads, belts, helmets. And you're like, how much shit do you need to work out? Like, we're supposed to be doing, let's say, you know, functional fitness or fitness to keep fit, and simulate movements and stuff for everyday life. It's not like, you know, you're going to be in a position where you're going to have to wear these things. And just it baffles me. And don't get me wrong, I've actually been gifted knee sleeves in the past and things like that, and, you know, tried them for those things. But, you know, people say, I've got to wear the knee sleeve because I've got an injury, I've got to wear this. It's a bit strange because, yeah, fine, it's a little bit tighter, right? But it's like just putting a sock on, isn't it? Just putting a sock on over your knee, really. There's just odds. And it just baffles my mind that someone... I mean, I get it that you feel more secure when you have that on. Like, I do understand that. It's the same as a weightlifting belt, right? You put a belt on, you feel it. But equally, you should be fixing that problem. I mean, this is me going now into a bit of a serious thing, but you should be fixing that problem. If you're wearing a knee sleeve, like, all the time, you're like, oh, because my knee hurts. Like, why does your knee hurt? Like, why do we not try and fix that rather than just keep wearing this fucking sleeve? I think that's weird. The whole thing about doing that. I really do. I can't explain it. I don't think I've done a good job of explaining it, but anyway, we'll see. We were talking as a team the other day, and the question was, if you could bring one bit of equipment, if you're on a holiday or you're on an island and you could only bring one bit of equipment, what would it be? Now, I am actually intrigued to know a lot of your answers for this, because I think it's quite fascinating, and I think there's a lot of people that are going to choose things that us as coaches would be like, what? Why would you even bother bringing that? So I think some people would think, oh, I'm going to bring an assault bike, I'm going to bring a rower, or I'm going to bring an air bike. Like, no, they're things that you won't need to do when you're on a desert island, because you can use your legs to run with. I mean, it's obviously a personal choice, so, you know, it's not necessarily that you're giving a wrong answer. But we discussed that if it was just one singular item, or if you were to bring, so for example, we said a barbell with a loaded bar at 60 kilo, that would be what we'd bring. However, if you couldn't bring that, it would be a dumbbell or a kettlebell. Kettlebell is just as versatile as dumbbells. You can swing both of them, you can curl both of them, you can press both of them, you can snatch both of them. You can squat with both of them, etc. Deadlift, whatnot. Very versatile. Two very versatile tools. So I think that would probably be my answer. And if you were to ask me what would be, so that was the bit of kit, but the exercise that the question has come. There's two exercises that I would do. Okay, there's two exercises that I would do. I think one of them would be Turkish get up. I think if that was the only exercise that you could do, I think I would put a Turkish get up, right? Or it'd be a snatch. Okay, preferably I would go for the snatch, because with a snatch, you get to squat with it. You get strength above head. You get hip explosiveness. You've got power, you've got speed, strength in there too, coordination. So they're the things that I would do. But I would also like to know if there was one exercise that you would do, what would it be? Would it be squats? Would it be deadlift? I mean, deadlift is a great one also. That would be a good one. Burpees, maybe for some people, depends if, it's a personal preference, but for me, something resistance wise would have to be, it's a non-negotiable, it's a non-negotiable. I'm just going to get up at another question, that have been sent in. And again, I thank everyone for listening outside of the UK. I think it's absolutely nuts that people are listening from all over the world. Let me just grab one. Someone's asked actually how I incorporate flexibility and mobility training into my fitness routine. So for a long time, I was waking up in the morning and the first thing I would do was stretch. And I was following what used to be Romwod, is now Pliability, where you would spend 20, 25 minutes. I've spoken to that about that before. But now I'm finding new ways of exploring range of motion just through some dynamic movement. Things that maybe look a little bit controversial at times, just different stuff rather than static extension. You can do it. Taking either way is great, but I would like to be able to load my muscles through greater range as opposed to just have them lengthened. That's personal choice, I think. It depends on how immobile you are. But I think one thing I'm trying to focus on in terms of mobility is rotation. I think it's very important that we're able to twist our spine. You know, I know it sounds silly, but looking left to right, but actually how much, if you stand up now and try not to move your hips, how far can you turn left and how far can you turn right? And if you're on a computer for a lot of your day or you're sitting down, you're going to find that that's going to be really restrictive. And for those of you that have overhead issues, if you free up that area of rotation or the middle of that spine, you're going to find that rotation is a lot easier. So give that a go. If you need help with it, you know, reach out to us. We're always here to help. Question I also received was about challenging myself and pushing myself to limits. And I could talk about this all day, but I won't chew your ear off. However, I will take a drink, and if you're standing up, I'd sit down. Because I might be a little while. As I've got older, and there's obviously a few a lot of listeners that are going to be older than me, but equally there's people going to be a lot younger that could take on this advice. When I was younger, I could push myself to want to die in that sense on a workout. Like I would win at all costs. What didn't care what it take. I would push, and I wanted to be the fucking strongest. I wanted to lift the heaviest. I wanted to be the fastest, and whatever it took to do, I would do. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I actually mentally, I can't. So the approach that I take to challenging myself, it is actually kind of like a growth mindset to things of, am I doing this well? Does it look good? And am I injury free? I want to feel good after a workout. I don't want to feel fucked. I don't want to feel like tomorrow I'm going to be sore. I'm not saying that I'm, let's say, afraid of that anymore. There's still obviously DOMS that I still get from training. But I'm talking about like central nervous system. When you wake up and you think, fuck, I am fucking tired. And over the last few months, as you know, the journey and training and got back into training consistently, I haven't been waking up like that. Partly, probably because of the whole ice bath situation. And for those of you that want to know, I have had to take a 5-day break from that because of my Whoop. It needs to calculate 5 days without. So I'll be back to it. Once I get that meter reading, let's say, from Whoop, because I'm just assessing, I'm exploring this and seeing the feedback, I'll be back in. But it's staring at me every single day. And I'm looking forward to get back in because I can feel the difference. I just feel like I think it's great for my mental health, and I think it's great for me to start my day. I think it just gets me fucking alert and excited, even more so for the day. But going back to the training point, I want to feel good about training. I don't want to feel like I'm beaten. And I think for a long time, a lot of us in training feel like we're beaten. And when we don't get that feeling of beaten, we feel like we haven't worked out. But actually, that allows us to do so much more. And I think this is where the message that I've come across in the last, you know, season of podcast and for quite a while is try to educate and be like, you don't have to feel like that. Fitness is not defined like that, but fitness is shown to be defined like that. So that's kind of, I mean, if I hopefully that answers your question, that's how I challenge and push myself. The last question that I'll go through, because I said I wouldn't chew your ear off and go all night, is how do I balance the importance of progress and almost like, because they have been listening and, you know, listen to the fact of we all struggle from a little bit of body dysmorphia in sense of, in my opinion, when we start training, I think we constantly look at reflections. We look in the mirror. We want to look in a certain way. And how do I balance that? I do suffer from that. I feel sometimes, even though I'm, you know, people will look at it and say, oh, you're in great shape, you've been training. And sometimes I might not feel like that. But I'm not sure how I balance it. I'm not sure if I do the best job here. I think the closest answer I can give you is I think I'm very good at balancing out my food and my social in that sense. Like I what I mean by that is I know when to work to eat towards my goal, and I know when I don't want to work towards that, and when to, well, this is contradictive, and my partner will say otherwise, of when to stop. I've actually for a long time I struggled with sugar. I would just polish anything chocolate based away, and I don't do that as much anymore. In fact, I haven't done that for a long time. I would go through a 330 gram or 350 gram bar of dairy milk in one sitting and want more. I would finish a whole pack of chocolate digestives in one sitting and want more. Fox's double chocolate chip cookies in a whole sitting, and I would want more. But I've learned to become better at that, and I think that in terms of body composition, I noticed that when I go high on sugar, you can call me the muffin man. I put on weight around my waist quite a lot. If I go nuts on sugar, however, I find that I think I told you about the experience of going on that carnivore diet. I think that helped me lose quite a lot of body fat. But I've learned a better relationship with balance of food. And that was just an experiment. That was just purely wanted to see the effects of that. But I think I balance it by knowing when to eat well and when not to. For example, my food day to day is normal food. I dare use the word healthy. Is normal balanced food that most people should eat on a day to day basis. Last weekend, I had to do some garden work, which fucking took it out of me. Mixing concrete, building, putting sleepers together, making frames, all that stuff, like real fucking man stuff, like that, you know, just to give you a bit of a profile on that. But all I wanted that day was a sourdough, proper Neapolitan Italian pizza and a glass of wine. And in terms of dinner, so I made sure my breakfast was normal, my lunch and my snack or my second meal, third meal, whatever you want to call it, was normal. And I wanted a whole pizza and I wanted a glass of wine. What did I do? Whole pizza and a glass of wine. I was fine with it. Next morning, normal breakfast, just cracked on. And I think that's how I balance it, because there's no restriction in that sense. I knew that eating more than that would tip me over the edge and make me feel tired. Like I had enough food that when I ate, I was satisfied. I didn't fall asleep at the table. I wasn't wanting to go to sleep when we got back from dinner. I felt great because I gave my body, I felt what the enough of the good of the like the bad good stuff of what it needed. So that's how I think I balance it. However, that's all I wanted to get through those questions that you sent. There are a few more, but I'll save them. I'm trying to hope to organise some more time with the team so we can get the team members on. I know that you've asked me for that, and I will do that. Just diaries aren't aligning at the moment. There's some other bits that need to be done ahead of that. But we are coming up, as I said, with new stuff and hopefully new material to keep you engaged in the podcast. And like always, if there's something that you want to hear about, you want us to talk about, please let us know. Ultimately, for us, the message is always going to be the same. We are always going to want to try and educate you through these things. We are going to want to make you or help you make the right decisions, and we're going to try and nurture you to a better life of fitness through the age of 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus, etc. The key is moving, the key is balance, the key is having fun with it all and not becoming obsessed with something that doesn't even exist. I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast, and again, we'll see you next week.